Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. This episode of Dev Radio is coming to you, and it's Hendrick Motorsports. NASCAR fans rejoice. We've been able to bring a real mobile solution to them. It's exactly what you need to do as well. A lot to learn, a lot of coolness. That's this episode of Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and we're here to talk about Hendrick Motorsports and some of the cool stuff we've done for them. I've got two other tech evangelists, and I'm excited to talk to them. It's going to be a fun call because they've done some neat stuff, and they've dealt with things that, honestly, you as a developer have had to fiddle with or you've been dreading all along. So let's just start with Shahed. Shahed, thanks for being on the call. We've had you on the show before, haven't we?
Yeah, I've done some MBA Microsoft Virtual Academy videos and had the chance to sit with you and talk about some of those videos.
Oh, yeah. I remember. You're doing game videos.
Yes, game development.
Yeah, I totally remember. Now, let's see. Shahed, you're located in...
D.C.? So I live in the outskirts of D.C., but I'm currently in a building in downtown D.C. right now.
Okay, Dave, you're in Philadelphia?
Yes, I am.
All right, man. Thanks. Back to the show. Now, you helped me get really ramped up on Xamarin back in the day. You've been a tech evangelist now for, 100 years now, it seems like. And, man, you just lead the pack. You're just always so busy. I don't know how you keep it all straight.
Sleep is terribly overrated.
Is that the trick? That's totally the trick.
I've come back to vacation.
The fact that you even have time to go to the gym blows my mind. Right. I mean, I haven't had time to go to the gym in years, in like 40 years. Oh, it's terrific. What's the tech community like there in Philadelphia?
The tech community is small but growing. Largely, it's, I don't want to say led by Comcast. I want to say Comcast, obviously a Fortune 50 cable provider, brings down a lot of the tech talent here to Philadelphia. In fact, they're building another skyscraper just behind me right now. Well, they'll employ about 3,000 more engineers. So often what happens is they'll build new buildings, attract new talent, and they are slowly in the transition of going from a cable company to a software company. So our scene is growing.
Now, seriously, doesn't it seem like every company says that? It's like just pick like pizza, right? Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
We're not a pizza company. We're a technology company, right?
It's
the truth. You got Starbucks. We're not a coffee company. We're a technology company. We're a people company. Nobody is actually the company that their bread and butter is anymore. It's the easiest thing.
You've got to have software solutions in everything you're doing at this point.
Shahed told us we were working with Hendrick Motorsports. How do we make friends with them in the first place?
You know, it was Blaine Barton, another evangelist based out of Tampa, who's also a NASCAR fan. He was down at one of the races, saw our sponsorship that we had with NASCAR. There was a nice big Windows 10 logo on the side of one of the NASCAR trucks. He went over, struck up a conversation, and they said, NASCAR themselves said, we would love to continue to work with you guys. We have a number of teams who would like to have more software solutions. Put them in touch, got the ball rolling. Next thing I know, we're flying down to Charlotte, and we're helping Hendrick Motorsports build out software solutions.
Let's just take a moment to talk about Blaine Barton. He's a great guy, isn't he? I mean, he's just one of my – he is my favorite evangelist. I'll just be honest.
a little known fact about him as well. So he's based out of Tampa. I recently discovered that he has a palm tree farm. I didn't know that you could farm palm trees, but apparently you can make a living doing that. So he digs up holes, drops palm trees. Yeah, entire palm tree farm.
Oh, that's cool. I don't have – a farm.
Well, I know you got to imagine, where does San Francisco get all those palm trees from? Right, they're not indigenous to San Francisco. They get trucked over.
They don't get them from Florida. That's
maybe.
That's
all Blaine.
Where are they
Blaine,
getting from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Blaine. Yeah. I saw the Wikipedia article where they're considering renaming them to Blaine trees. It's weird. So that's going to be great. All right. So he goes up, he's talking to them. They're like, wow, we could absolutely have some more software solutions. He comes to you guys, creates the A team. All of a sudden you guys are talking to them. They say they need a solution for, now Shahed, you are already kind of leading to it. What was the solution they needed?
So the solution they needed was to help them facilitate doing what they're already doing and also add some extra features, which is basically what software should do, right? It should extend what you're already doing, but just make your life better. So there were people out in the field, in the workshops, or taking notes. They were taking notes on paper, maybe going back to their computers. They were taking notes into the system. But there were a lot of notes about their cars, things they needed to do, maybe a checklist of items that needed to complete. And they needed some of that digitized. So instead of just having a web-based interface, which they already had, they wanted a mobile solution that they could have in their pocket and also have added features such as taking pictures on the spot.
I got you. So almost like when you have a construction team come to your house and they give you and you have a punch list at the end. There's just a whole bunch that needs to be done in order to call it done. Is this something that happens right before a race?
It's a longer process. It's from building up a car from scratch until race day, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's really wild. Dave, how is this complicated?
Well, it's got a number of moving parts, right? So previously, like Shahad said, there'd be used pen and paper. Now, all of a sudden, we have these people in this BYOD world that's bring your own device. So people bring Windows phones or iPhones or Android devices, but they've all got to be on the same page. So where things really start to get complicated is in the old world, so the old way of doing this, we would have to write this three different times, right? Have to write native code, likely, for each of these platforms. Well, now we recently acquired...
Well, I guess in the old days, it's pen and paper.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's crazy
even
to
like
call
moving
that
it
old
forward.
Days.
Yeah. Well, hey, I still carry a notebook everywhere. You know? But
I have one of the original Kindles right here. Its refresh rate is off the charts. Battery never dies. Never dies. I can't even imagine getting rid of it.
That's right. No GPU required.
Right. And so if you were going to have a solution that was going to cross all the different platforms, that's three platforms. That's three sets of development skills that likely, if you're going to be good at it, you're going to have three different developers or development teams to accomplish it right. Right. You could have one guy who's the jack of all trades, and he does a mediocre job across all the platforms. But to find a guy who can really nail it, that's tough to find that kind of person.
Yeah.
Maybe two platforms, but certainly one.
And then you've got to keep them on retainer because later on you've got to do bug fixes or make updates or additions. Like it turns to a project and very expensive.
Yeah. Right. Well, not only that, you end up having, you know, Shahed, you're going to do iOS and I'm going to have Dave, you're going to do Android. I'll do Windows. And quickly, we're out of sync, right? Because Dave, you go on vacation and meanwhile, Shahed and I are killing it. You come back and things are no longer in parity and every device is a different experience, right? It's just this endless frustration. And so along comes Xamarin.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Talk to me a little bit about Xamarin and the pleasure of C Sharp.
So the pleasure of C Sharp. So the good news is that a lot of folks at Hendrick who are already using Visual Studio and C Sharp to build a web app in ASP.NET MVC. So they have the necessary tools and the experience with the programming language. So it made perfect sense to introduce something like Xamarin, where they could use their existing tools and knowledge and their Windows 10 development machine to build this app. And it wasn't only on mobile. If you can imagine, everyone there has a Windows 10 working machine, whether it's a laptop or desktop, so they could run the Windows 10 Universal app on their desktop as well.
Now, Shahed, do you think that Hendrick is really that unique? I mean, don't you feel like there are a lot of enterprises out there where there are .NET developers kind of already suffering under the burden of JavaScript, wanting to be able to have solutions in C#?
Yes, and I see that all the time. Like being in an area in the D.C. metro area, we see a lot of .NET developers across D.C., Maryland, Virginia, who have all the C#.NET experience. In fact, a couple of hours ago, I had met with a gentleman who was such a developer, and he was talking about, well, what else can I do? You know, I'm doing all this web stuff, but I'd like to do some Xamarin as well for mobile.
Yeah.
I've seen that interest, you know, on different sites, and also from non-.NET developers who are either approaching Apple or Android as one of their platforms, and they're not sure what to choose and want to tell them about Xamarin and C#. You know, their eyes open up because a lot of them haven't heard about it before coming from the non-.NET side.
Yeah. Now, Dave, talk to me a little about forms. You're introducing forms. What's the criteria you use for choosing forms as the right solution?
Okay, sure. So forms is another way of abstracting the UI, where you're essentially going to write it, for the most part, one time, and you're going to still have that native look and feel across the board. Because truthfully, what's happening is you're writing your code in C# and XAML, and you're spitting out the native code for those respective platforms.
Now, wait. you are spitting out the native code. I think people don't recognize that you're writing it in C#. It compiles to native iOS. I mean, it's incredible what they've accomplished. It really is.
Correct.
All right, I keep going, and I want to talk a little bit about the caveat, right? Because this is a great solution for a lot of projects.
Correct. So many, but not all, of the controls that you'll find natively available on some of these other platforms, like iOS or Android, will be there. So that means if I want something that I expect to have available on all these platforms, say a button. When I write a button in XAML, it is going to look how a button should look on Android and the same on iOS. Where previously, before Android Xamarin Forms, I would have to write Xamarin Android or Xamarin iOS, and I'd have to write my UI twice. Now, with all this code sharing, essentially I can reuse most of my code over and over across all these platforms.
Yeah, and I think when you start looking at the complexity of an application that you have to port over to all these different platforms, even an 80% reuse of code is honestly, even a 50% is astronomical.
It's time, money, technical
90%. Xamarin is amazing. All right, so here we are. Let's just step away from Xamarin for a while. I think we can all pat ourselves on the back how awesome it is. There are some other issues, and data is a common issue inside applications. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about what happened here. First, what was the requirement?
Yeah, sure. We can cover a little bit of both. So data is useless unless you can store it and retrieve it when you need it. Xamarin has some features which let you store data locally, but also stuff in the cloud as well, and not just one place in the cloud. We used a variety of using Azure Blob Storage for media when we needed it, but also SQL Azure, which is SQL Server in the cloud, for most of our CRUD operations, where we're storing and retrieving data points. And David, you want to elaborate some of that?
Sure. So to get this going, what we did was we quickly spun up an Azure app service. So app services contain things like web applications and now mobile services, where, to your point before, it'll spin up a SQL database in the background and have an ASP.NET or Node application, so your choice, running on a server, which will then, again, handle all of our CRUD operations. So one of the huge selling points behind this, at least for us, was not only that it handles the brokering of the information between both the server and the client, but also that things like offline sync were available immediately, and offline storage. So to quickly go over that.
Okay, so let's make sure I understand. So technically speaking, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 pieces. We have what we've written on our client platform, right? The individual code that we've written for, you know, Android. Then on the Android, we've also got SQLite that's doing the relational data storage on the device. Then we have a web service, basically, that's interacting with the device and talking to that SDK that we're using. And then we have a SQL Server on the back end. And what you're saying is, I have the data in SQL Server, I have the data on my local device, and through what is it that's keeping it all synchronized for me?
The mobile service itself will keep that synchronized for us. And best of all is, again, to spin this up, I literally went to the Azure portal, portal.azure.com, created web application, mobile service, and from there, it has templates out of the box for you for a number of platforms. Xamarin is one of them, or Xamarin Forms specifically, and it'll give you one of two options from there. It'll give me either a project that I download as a zip file, which is available then to run on iOS, Android, Windows, and it has all of the code necessary. Alternatively, if I already have a project done and maybe I want to add this feature, right, offline storage or CRUD operations later on, it'll give me a couple of lines of code, simply a using statement for a namespace that I include with a NuGet package, as well as the endpoint that I'm then, you know, doing all my CRUD operations to, and that's all.
All right, so when we say mobile service, we really mean this is a product name inside Azure. Mobile service is the umbrella product name that is all of these brought together in a single SDK that runs across all these different platforms and handles it for you. That doesn't mean a developer can't go in and create their own SQL Server, can create their own web service, and then write their own SQL Lite logic. They could do that. If they wanted to save the effort, here's an app service to do it, or here's mobile service to do it for you, SDKs ready and written, right? And supported. I mean, there's just so much goodness in it as well.
Yeah, and before we get too far ahead of that, one thing I wanted to quickly cover was when you think mobile service, you think just mobile devices or mobile platforms. That's not the case at all. In fact, several years ago, we did a video tutorial on MVA, Microsoft Virtual Academy, on creating back-end services for game developers. Now, it could be Xbox, PlayStation, web, does not matter. You're going to use that same mobile service to have your game, whether it's on a mobile device, a console, or PC, to communicate and store information. So again, mobile services is simply the templating, the scaffolding for things like offline sync, storage through SQL, and CRUD operations.
Okay. And who knows what we'll call it in the future, because Azure seems to be renaming everything constantly. So it's
great. Hey, it's moving fast. That's a good train to be on.
It's a mobile service, so we'll go with that. Yeah. And it actually has been for quite a long time. So that's I think they're happy with that one. Now, Shahid, tell me a little bit about the development experience. I give you the SDK. I've got the mobile service running up on the in the cloud that talks to a SQL Server. What is the experience that you had?
So the experience, it was a bit of a mixed bag, a bit of a learning experience. So I'll start with the pros and the cons. So the pros would be the folks at Xamarin, even before the Microsoft acquisition, they pride themselves in always being up to date. So if iOS has a new release, if Android has a new release, they're always on top of the iOS releases and the Android releases. I don't think they do the beta period, but they do the release. So whenever you
have... And it's
have
their one-day policy, isn't it? Every time they release, the next day, Xamarin's on it. Yeah.
So which also means that to get the best and the greatest, I do have to update my machines. And I say machines because the part with the iOS compilation, I do need a Mac on my development environment to get that to compile. So I have to update
my
Mac.
Is that a pro or a con?
My PC. It used to be a bit of a con, but now with the new Visual Studio iOS simulator, it lets you develop completely on a PC. So the Mac takes care of some of the back end, acting as what we call a build agent, helping us to compile the code. But we can do the design, the development, and the simulation on directly on our PC. So that's great.
That's pretty sweet.
Some of the cons that came out of it was, we would be sharing our code, checking in our code into source control, downloading the latest code, and things that previously worked would stop working. Would have some issues running maybe the Android emulator, or we'd have to install later version of the Android SDK from Google. So there are some issues with just all the dependencies, but once we got that stuff figured out, it became very smooth. Early on, the environment setup, configuration and reconfiguration, we had a couple of bumps, it's part of the deal. When you work on all these platforms, we could have had the choice of developing three separate projects, but we decided to go with one of them, and we had one set of hurdles, and we got through them.
So what would happen is Dave would upgrade to 1.1, you'd still be in 1.0, he would check in some code, you'd get it, and you wouldn't be upgraded, so now you'd have to synchronize. I imagine you eventually had a team rule of stop freaking upgrading.
Yes. We actually did. At some point, we were looking at betas. We had heard that there was some plugin, the media plugin in particular, that would either work or wouldn't work with a particular version. We might have to go with the beta version. The directive that we got, actually from one of our other evangelist colleagues, Nick Landry, who's a Xamarin expert from the early days, he specifically said, stick to the release versions, don't go with the beta versions, and you should be good to go. All the release versions should work hand in hand with each other if you upgrade all your machines, but not into beta.
Yeah, if you're learning and playing, then beta is great. If you're trying to release... Yeah, beta's sort of nuts. Unless it's just one of those things. Sometimes there's a requirement, and beta's the only way to get there. It's pretty tricky, though, to be able to get that. Nick Landry, New York City. All right.
Yeah, that's
My favorite evangelist, no doubt about it. Now, let me ask you, what was Hendrik's response, Dave?
Hendrik, I love the idea of this. Again, they're already using a number of our technologies. They had ASP.NET on the back end. Because they already had this web application, which did a bit of this and a bit of them managing which vehicles are going out when. But they were eager to get started, largely because they had a number of devices on many platforms at this point. So it's really like consolidating all of this work into one thing. And also, through a program that we have at Microsoft, we're able to quickly get them up and running. That was both by working on-site for a couple of days in Charlotte. And we got a great tour of their facility, a good understanding of how this all works and comes together.
That's cool.
Yeah, the actual tangibles behind it, right? It's much easier to grasp these things when you get to see what the end result's going to be. And then we got to work remotely and continue to help them build this out as well.
Isn't it cool to have, the perfect world, all these guys would be walking around with a Surface or something, right? And it would be this totally controlled device. But now, they show up with just about anything. It's not cool that we have an answer. I feel like we have the answer. There just really is nothing like this. Microsoft is really in a sweet spot when it comes to mobile development and maximizing productivity.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And even 20, 30, 40 years ago, you were essentially having to write per processor, right? If you're writing a 6502, you had to rewrite that application for every processor that did not have that or have different variations. Now, again, we're platform agnostic, essentially, right? We just want developers to write as much code as possible everywhere.
And Shahed, you were talking about it's not that bad having a Mac there either, but you've also got Visual Studio for Mac as well that you can do all of this inside of. There's a lot of options for almost any development team. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, yeah, but we're not a .NET shop, we're all Macs everywhere, that's not a blocker. That's not a blocker really at all.
No, not at all. So you could use a Mac and then just develop for Android and Android and iOS exclusively. You can install Windows on your Mac if you want. But yeah, you can choose whatever you want. So Microsoft has changed a lot over the past couple of years, in the past 3 years. Very open source, cross-platform. It's whatever you want to be.
So the next time I'm watching a NASCAR race, and I look down in some Hendrick property, and I see somebody taking notes on some device, I can know that this is Dave and Shawhead's baby that they have put together, and they're probably executing code that you wrote and we talked about on this call.
Yeah, actually, we have a great relationship with NASCAR overall, too, not only just with Hendrick Motorsports, but even Stephen Bird, the director of technology at NASCAR, just wrote a great blog post on our office blog last week, specifically highlighting how NASCAR as a whole, not only their organization, but also the teams within NASCAR, are utilizing Office, ASP.NET, and a number of our technologies.
This is really the new golden age of Microsoft. There's no getting past it. Yeah, it's no getting past it. Shawhed, man, everything you do is awesome. Thanks for being on the show again today.
All right, thank you.
Dave, obviously, needs not be said. Thanks for being on
Always
the show.
Always a pleasure.
You bet. All right, guys, great work. If you're a developer out there thinking about a mobile application and you haven't looked at Xamarin, why not? It's free. Comes with Visual Studio. It's awesome. All right, guys, thanks again. We'll see you later.
All right, see you later.